Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Thanks for choosing us. 1 week from the election, one very important race, not 100% settled. That is Republican Dave McCormick and Bob Casey, the incumbent Democrat for United States Senate representing Pennsylvania. Joining us from KDK TV, political analyst John Delano. John, have you taken a deep breath since last Tuesday? It's been a whirlwind.
It sure has, Larry. Good morning to you and to all your listeners. I've gotten my sleep back, so after the early part of last week, things were kind of crazy, but all is good now. All is good.
All right, where are we in the actual vote count between Dave McCormick and Bob Casey? I hear there are about 100,000 ballots left to be counted in Pennsylvania. Why has it taken so long?
Well, depending on who you talk to, there are an estimated 116,000 ballots yet to be counted. And as of this morning, Dave McCormick leads Bob Casey by 35,000 votes. Now, you have to make an assumption that these ballots, these uncounted ballots, some of which are, many of which are provisional ballots, and we'll come back to that in a second. You'd have to make the assumption that the vast majority of them would go for Bob Casey. I'm not clear that, to me, it's not clear that you can do that, but you don't know. And Bob Casey certainly has the right to have every vote counted before he makes either concession speech or a victory speech. And I just recall, and Dave McCormick appreciates this as well, because when Dave McCormick ran against Mehmet Oz 2 years ago, in a primary in May of 2022, the result was not declared, and he did not concede for a couple weeks. So Pennsylvania, when you have very close elections, and in the end, McCormick lost in that race. He only lost by 900 some votes.
900?
Yes, to Mehmet Oz.
I forgot that it was that close with Oz.
Yes. It was under 1,000 votes. It was very close when all the ballots were counted. It was very close. And, of course, Dave McCormick had every right to wait until all the ballots were counted. Bob Casey has every right to wait until all the ballots are counted. Whether it makes a difference or not, that's hard to say. This is a bigger margin. 35,000 is bigger than 1,000. But we don't know yet. And there are, as I say, I think they're estimating 2% of the vote is still uncounted. So very, very close election.
Yet Associated Press called the race for Dave McCormick, and he basically, I guess Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is not inviting him for the Senate orientation that's coming this week for the incoming senators.
Right. He's not the only one. I understand that Ruben Gallego, who's the Democrat who may have won in Arizona, but again, very close to call. I think I saw somewhere that Schumer is also not inviting Gallego, a fellow Democrat, because his race has not been called yet. When you say called is also, it's somewhat a matter of art. Various stations have different methods by which they call elections. But it's not up to the media. It's not up to Associated Press. It's not up to CBS or NBC, ABC or Fox News or anybody else to declare who the winner is. It's up to the election officials. That's their job. And that has not yet been done in Pennsylvania yet. So that's where we're at.
Why is it taking so long? It's been a week for these 116 ballots to be counted.
Yeah, 116,000. Yeah, let me explain provisional ballots, because that's what's the holdup at the moment. There are some mail-in ballots, and there are some overseas military ballots that are also, I think, uncounted. But the vast majority of ballots uncounted are provisional. So what are provisional ballots? When you go to the polls on election day, if there's some reason to think that you either are not registered to vote properly or that you've cast a ballot via mail and are trying to vote twice, the elections officials hand you what's called a provisional ballot. Those ballots are just like anyone else's ballots, with one huge exception. They don't get counted. They don't get counted because they must be adjudicated as to whether or not you are a legitimate voter. We don't want everyone who gets a provisional ballot to have their votes counted if they're not, you know, if they're attempting to vote twice or if they're not a legitimate registered voter, American citizen, you know, allowed to vote in Pennsylvania, all of that stuff. The adjudication of that did not begin until Friday. The election's Tuesday. It wasn't until Friday that the counties, by law, as I understand it, begin to decide to adjudicate whether or not a provisional ballot is lawful or not. Most of them end up being lawful, but there is a process. So today is Tuesday. The process began Friday. They might have worked Saturday. They probably did not work Sunday. Monday was a legal holiday, right? Veterans Day. Feds and state closed. And so today they're back at it, as I understand it, and we'll hopefully get a result very shortly. I don't think this will go on too much longer.
But unlike the last Senate race where John Fetterman won, this one will not tip the balance of power in Washington. That's already happened.
That's correct, Larry. Very good point. The Republicans already control the U.S. Senate, at least with 52 to 48 of the Senate, 52 senators elected. This would be their 53rd. If Arizona were to go Republican, they'd have 54. Most people think it's likely to be that. But most people I talk to think that it's going to be hard for Bob Casey to make up 35,000 votes. But again, he has a right to make sure all the votes are counted. But in the end, Dave McCormick may end up being the senator from Pennsylvania for the next 6 years. We shall see.
KDK TV's John Delano. Always appreciate your time and insight, John. Thank you.
Sure. Happy to. I hope that was helpful.
Yes.
Sorry, it's complicated.
No, it is, though. You did a great job of kind of revealing what's going on behind the curtains. Thank you.
Great. Well, have a great day, everybody.
You too. Every Tuesday at this time on the Big K Morning Show, we bring you another medical professional brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here. And this morning we have Dr. Daniel Lachey, who is the Director of Sports Medicine and Arthroscopy in the Westmoreland area. Doctor, good morning. Good to see you on the radio, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Larry. Good to be here.
That's our new wrinkle in streaming live. You can do that, by the way, at kdkradio.com. Well, there are a lot of weekend sports warriors listening, golfers, bowlers, you name it. And one of the common problems is shoulder pain, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. Shoulder pain is very common. Around 2 million people have to see their doctor each year because of issues with their shoulder. And so shoulder, along with knee pain and, of course, back pain, are some of the most common issues that people have that lead them to go in and see their doctor for help.
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of people say, boy, I had that rotator cuff surgery. It can be an arduous process. So why is shoulder pain so common?
Well, there's a couple reasons for that. The shoulder is a ball and socket joint, but the socket's shaped more like a golf tee. And so that allows the shoulder to be very mobile. And the rotator cuff job, its main job is to assist with the mobility of the shoulder and its strength out in space. And so with that much mobility, you can start to accumulate problems, accumulate wear and tear, and then eventually you start to have issues.
Yeah, what are some of the major issues that people can have with their shoulders? Because there are different levels, obviously, and then when it comes to needing surgery, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, right. So you use the rotator cuff a lot more than you think. Like things like combing your hair, folding laundry, putting away groceries, all these things utilize your rotator cuff to some extent, and eventually it can start to break down. Prior to that, you can get some overuse and tendonitis type of issues. But if you start to get more substantial issues or the tendon starts to tear away from the bone, things where you hold your arm up over your head or holding objects out in space, those start to become very, very problematic. You have issues sleeping at night, things like that. So rotator cuff is one of the main problems that we see. The other is shoulder arthritis. So the ball and socket, the cartilage on the end of the bone can become worn, eventually can get to the point where what we call bone-on-bone arthritis, which is a term you hear thrown around for arthritis elsewhere, like the knee or the hip, but it can happen in the shoulder as well. And so with that, patients, when they go to move their arm, they feel stiffness or a cracking or popping sensation in the shoulder joint, or like a deep-seated ache, like a toothache.
So let's get to the options for treatment. If you're dealing with shoulder pain, what should be the first step?
Right. So at Independence Health, we're experts at treating shoulder pain. We offer all the most up-to-date treatments. Typically, the treatment plan does not involve surgery. So things like oral anti-inflammatories, sometimes things as simple as modifying your activities and not doing whatever seems to be bothering it, physical therapy, image-guided injections, and biologic treatments like PRP or prolotherapy all can be utilized to help treat shoulder pain.
What is the process if it ends up being surgery, doctor, for a rotator cuff, the recovery process? I've heard it takes a while in many cases.
Yeah, recovery from a rotator cuff repair is quite a project.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Only consider surgery when all their treatment options either have failed already or really aren't appropriate for the issue that the patient's having. But we typically, you'll see the patient in the office, evaluate them. If we feel that they have substantial problems with the rotator cuff, we send them for an MRI, and that'll confirm the diagnosis. If you have to have the rotator cuff repaired, because the joint is so mobile, you have to protect it after the repair. So patients have to go into a sling for about 6 weeks. I have them not lift more than 5 pounds for 3 months because it takes about 3 months for those tendon fibers that you reattach to really grow into the bone and be strong again to hold more weight. But full recovery is 6 months. Sometimes it can be up to 9 or even longer depending on how severe it is.
And I'm curious, when you sit and watch a football game, you probably see things and you go, you know exactly what it is, just like that, right?
That does happen. It's hard to turn that part off. Sometimes you don't want to, especially if you're watching the Steelers or a team you like. You're like, oh no, this isn't good. But fortunately, most injuries are treatable, and we can get athletes back out there.
Yeah, when they find out what you do, Doc, I'm sure everybody goes, oh, I got a question. And then they start grabbing their shoulders, knees, ankles.
Oh yeah.
Right? Everywhere you go.
Yeah. It's like you were saying earlier, so many people have had to have rotator cuff repairs. It's like a club. You can commiserate and share your experiences. And, there's a certain level of togetherness that you feel with other people that have had to have it.
Well, we appreciate what you and your staff team do every day. Thanks for the time today, Doc.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Dr. Daniel Lazar, which is the Director of Sports Medicine and Arthroscopy at Independence Health System Expert Care here. And every Tuesday at this time, we check in with another medical professional on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. And as you know, Paul, the cabinet process selection is underway.
Almost right away, too.
Yeah. And jumping on that immediately CBS's Naomi Ruckham has an update.
As expected, all of these picks are folks who've been mostly loyal to President-elect Donald Trump, though the selection of Marco Rubio does come after some years of name-calling back and forth. The appointments are only the beginning of what some believe could be the most conservative West Wing in recent memory. Two sources tell CBS News that President-elect Donald Trump is expected to tap two Florida lawmakers for key cabinet positions, Senator Marco Rubio for Secretary of State and Congressman Mike Waltz for National Security Advisor.
Donald Trump is not steeped in policy.
Rubio sparred with Trump during the 2016 GOP primaries before dropping out and eventually backing him up through this year's campaign.
We are patriots who love America.
Waltz is a decorated ex-Green Beret who served in Afghanistan, the Middle East, and Africa.
I fully believe in his America First agenda.
Yesterday, Trump also announced House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik of New York to be his next ambassador to the United Nations, an organization she has criticized in the past.
We know that the UN is a den of anti-Semitism.
Meanwhile, former New York GOP Congressman Lee Zeldin was chosen as Trump's Environmental Protection Agency administrator. Zeldin launched an unsuccessful run for New York governor in 2022.
I do believe that at some point there will be a re-entry to government.
This as progressive House Democrats are voicing concerns over Trump's pick of Stephen Miller for deputy chief of staff and former ICE director Tom Homan as border czar.
I think we're going to continue to see a number of people that have disturbing histories being appointed.
And they're vowing to fight his plans for a mass deportation program. In Florida, the governor appoints a temporary replacement for open U.S. Senate seats, meaning Governor Ron DeSantis would get to pick Marco Rubio's successor, assuming the nomination goes through. Many of the new cabinet picks are sitting members of Congress, which has sparked some concern over what will be a narrow balance of power. This all comes as new members of Congress begin their orientation in Washington today. So things are moving quickly.
CBS is Naomi Ruckham.
Except for Dave McCormick.
Right. That's apparently another one that John Delano mentioned, too.
Gallegos. The Associated Press has called the race in his favor, but again, it's the same situation. He's going to sit the orientation out until the election is settled officially by the state of Arizona.
Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall at one of those orientations? Like, you know, what exactly? Where's the bathroom?
Hey, here's where the secret elevator is.
And apparently the office of the Senate, the offices aren't maybe as elaborate as people would envision they would be.
Have you ever visited a congressman's office?
Never before. Have been in a senator's office or no. In Washington? No.
They have a separate Senate office building, I think. I've never been in there. So I
Shumway and
makes
I
makes me curious.
Invited once by Governor Tom Wolf to come down and, you know, give us the nickel tour. But we never made it. I think it was actually right before the pandemic. So after that, I mean, that was in Harrisburg.
It's a beautiful Capitol building. Really beautiful.
But in Washington, yeah, I would like to see. I mean, I would think most Americans would love a tour just to see what goes on. Meanwhile.
And well, we're paying for it.
Meanwhile, a little closer to home, the Allegheny County manager, John Fournier. Is that how you pronounce his name? Looks like Fournier.
It does look like that, but I've heard people pronounce it Fournier, so that's the way I'm going with it.
Yeah. Anyway, he's warning that if the county council doesn't pass the proposed hike in the budget property tax, it could be, quote, disastrous.
Yeah, he sent a letter to the council members saying that one possible result is a $4 million cut in spending for county police and laying off 40 officers, which is an eye-opener. Sam DeMarco talked about that with Marty Griffin here on KDK Radio yesterday, and he said, council controls the purse strings. Just relax, everybody.
And, you know, I may already made calls to a number of folks to assure them that any budget put forth by members of county council will not include any layoffs or cuts to any core type of programs.
He's talking about public works, public safety, and the parks, for example.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Sam DeMarco is the county council member. He's one of them.
At large.
At large.
Yeah, the Republican at-large member of county council.
So we'll continue to keep you posted on a budget increase. While that's going on, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Ganey's about to release the details of his proposed budget. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic of the two as we work our way through. Right after the news with Paul Rasmussen, I'm going to introduce you to a area native. She went to Bentworth High School in Washington County, Paul. And when she started her career after graduation, she was one of the first social media darlings. She started by streaming her life 24/7 online.
An influencer.
Yes. And she came into the studio. Her influencer name is iJustine. Justine Ezeric, who is, get this, she has over 1 billion views on her YouTube channel.
My goodness.
And most of what she does is talk about new technologies. She's kind of like a young version of our friend Dr. Frank, who's been doing this for 55 years. But iJustine, when she came into the studio, everything she did was live. And even when she slept, she was live 24/7.
Mike, I don't think I would like that.
No, I wouldn't, but that's what got her on the map.
I mean, who wants to look at me with my mouth hanging open, drooling on my pillow?
Sorry,
I hate it.
That's actually
that's
really
what went through my mind.
It's really funny. Well, she is in a movie that's it's called The Great One, and it was filmed here in Pittsburgh. It has an incredible story as Roberto Clemente's 3,000 hit is in the backdrop of the movie. But it's about a group of young friends when that was happening who reunite later in life. And it's all Pittsburgh stuff. And the fact she's one of the stars, and she's on the movie poster.
Has it been released?
No, it's coming out.
Okay.
It's going to be part of the Pittsburgh Film Festival that's coming out. Actually, this weekend.
This is the kind of movie I'm interested in seeing.
You know what? It's a good family film, and you're going to meet Justine. I'm hoping that she puts this. We're going to have her on our V-Mix. You've got to see her on the radio, and I'm hoping that she links us to her 1 billion followers.
Yeah, we need all the help we can get promoting our little video channel, right?
Right.
Yeah, but in case our listeners don't know what we're talking about, Justine will be on camera where she is with Larry, who's in the studio, and you can watch both of them. Sometimes me, if I'm involved in the conversation, occasionally I'll be in there as well. But and all of this is right on our website. You just have to click it's the most obvious link on the front page. It says watch.
Yeah, and she's called a life caster, I guess. But she's been in some TV shows and some movies. But this is a really unique opportunity for Justine Ezeric. iJustine coming up. I'm anxious for you to meet her.